And the Trump campaign's point man for the Georgia recount, GOP Congressman Doug Collins, tells One America's John Hines the decision for the recount is a major victory for President Trump's campaign.
The state will conduct a hand recount of presidential election votes, a hand recount of presidential election votes to occur in Georgia. What do you make of that, Congressman Collins?
Well, we're glad about it. This was a letter that we wrote yesterday to the Secretary of State. We asked for this hand recount. We believe it's the first step toward ensuring the voters of Georgia and also the country that the election process down here was fair and that every legal vote was counted and that every illegal vote is cast out. This is a good first step to that. We have other things that we're looking at as we go forward, but this is the key right here, making sure that we take each of those hand ballots and count them so that we can confirm and look at those ballots so we can make sure the election was handled properly.
Now, I have heard from some people that a recount often doesn't make a material difference in a vote. I've also heard, though, from some, you're also a lawyer in addition to being a minister, so you probably would be familiar with this. I've heard from some lawyers saying that oftentimes a recount will reveal some vote patterns, some irregularities, which provide a basis for legal action. Is that part of what you're trying to accomplish here, sir?
Well, look, there's all things on the table right now. What we need to accomplish is the fact that this vote needs to be counted. We need to make sure that there are no irregularities, that the people can be sure that when they cast that vote into that machine is actually counting them. And this is the way we can do that. And it's one step in the process. It's that first step toward ensuring the ballot integrity. It's the first step ensuring that legal votes count. You know, look, I know that they're wanting to move on. The Democrats and Biden think that they have it won. But no, there's a legal process. This is not over yet. And we're going to pursue those avenues that are provided by law. This has nothing to do with sour grapes or do we not think we won. It has everything to do with making sure the integrity of the election counts, because this is not the only election we'll ever have. In fact, in Georgia, we've got a couple more coming up, and we need to make sure that they're right for those elections too.
So the president is behind by about how many votes in Georgia at this time, sir? Do we know?
I believe it's about 14,000, I heard this morning.
Yeah. And would this potentially, this recount, would this, it could potentially make a difference with respect to that one Senate race, Senator Perdue, who was awfully close to that 50% threshold. Is that correct?
I think the ballot, we're looking at the presidential race, but this again, if we see indiscrepancies here, if we see problems in this ballot, which you just talked about a few minutes ago, then it opens up the possibility of the other races that we're seeing as well. So again, this is a less than a half a percent. We're way under half percent difference here. This is mandated, you know, that the law, there's going to be an automatic recount. What the Secretary of State did, though, was agree with us, is since we now have these pieces of paper, these hand ballots, let's actually, that were presented to each voter, let's actually use those because they're identifiable. We can know where they come from and we can continue the process of a fair election.
Now, the procedure is after the recount, then someone, I guess, certifies the vote. Is that how that works?
It does. There'll be the Secretary of State and the governor has a part to play in that as well. But we'll see what happens through this and any other issues that we're having with people coming forward with problems that they had. And then we'll can decide, you know, post recount what happens to happen at that point.
And then until then, the presidential race in Georgia, I gather, would not have been called. It would still remain up in the air or not called. Is that correct?
It is not called at this point and will not be called. Until these next few measures are actually completed. The Secretary of State in Georgia has until November 20th to certify the election. We should have plenty of time to get this recount done. Look, this is not over. Let's take a deep breath as a collective, as a country. We've had a long, contentious battle. Now let's get every vote legally counted so that we can move forward. That's what makes us different.
Congressman Doug Collins working on the recount, the Georgia recount, some good news there. Thank you very much for talking to us on One America News. It's good to catch up with you, sir.
It's always good to be with you. Take care.
Want to see more videos like this? Visit ONN.com for immediate access to all the clips you've been waiting to see.
Thank you. So what's going on with these Dominion voting systems? They seem to be glitching in favor of Biden in all the battleground states. Is this a bug or a feature of the system?
Well, I think it's certainly a sound basis for the Department of Justice to look into this very deeply. And yesterday, of course, Attorney General Barr, initiated, this assessment, which is designed to ensure that voting processes have been sound, fair, and accurate, and working as they're supposed to be working. In the case of Dominion, as you pointed out, there are multiple concerns. I mean, number one is that it seems very fortuitous that this would break in Joe Biden's favor consistently in the voting patterns. Number two, there are these conflicts, apparently, when you know, a lobbyist that's the former chief of staff to House Speaker and shareholders that have ties to familial ties to top Democrats. Those are major issues. And then, of course, their presence has been in many of these key battleground states, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Michigan, Wisconsin, North Carolina, and Nevada. So the errors that were made seem to be on the surface described as glitches. I don't know what that means. I don't think anyone can describe entirely what that means. Then they kind of backed away from that, subsequently saying that, well, it's not really the technology itself. It was more a human error, but that too is troubling. And, you know, a final point on this that I find absolutely concerning is that the software was being updated as late as the night before the election, which is unheard of, according to most individuals who work in these polling locations. And you sort of like to know, like, what kind of updates are that? They also were warned in Georgia. This isn't like a concern that's simply emerging now after the election. They were warned in Georgia that there were by legitimate security issues and cyber hack concerns. You know, and we have a susceptibility there. I mean, I look just at China, for instance, which has hacked Equifax, which has hacked the presidential personnel office, stealing thousands of security files, including my own. Those are deeply troubling issues, and this certainly has got to be a major component of the DOJ investigation.
Exactly, because it seems like Democrats had to know this when they were pushing to use all these different systems, especially because when it comes to Dominion voting systems, in 2019, they were flagged by officials as being fragile and error-prone. What does that tell you?
Fragile and error-prone to me suggests you either fix it or get a new vendor. And it doesn't look like either of them have done that. Of course, both Georgia incumbent senators now are calling for the removal of the Georgia Secretary of State based on a whole broad range of concerns about voting patterns within Georgia and what appear to be concerns across the board. A lot of Americans out there right now, I saw new polling that has just come out from Rasmussen that shows only 49% of Americans believe this election was free, fair, and accurate. And I think you've got an extraordinary number of Americans out there that are thinking, seeing the enthusiasm that existed for the president throughout these rallies, that this is an inconceivable outcome. And I think the message has to go out. It is possibly inconceivable. We don't know for sure, really, until all these things are looked at. But this is an immensely close election. In fact, I had just done some of the math earlier on the Libertarian candidate. If you'd taken the Libertarian candidate out of this race, you would have had Trump winning a good number of these swing states and already have declared victory. It's that close.
And the Trump campaign's point man for the Georgia recount, GOP Congressman Doug Collins, tells One America's John Hines the decision for the recount is a major victory for President Trump's campaign.
The state will conduct a hand recount of presidential election votes, a hand recount of presidential election votes to occur in Georgia. What do you make of that, Congressman Collins?
Well, we're glad about it. This was a letter that we wrote yesterday to the Secretary of State. We asked for this hand recount. We believe it's the first step toward ensuring the voters of Georgia and also the country that the election process down here was fair and that every legal vote was counted and that every illegal vote is cast out. This is a good first step to that. We have other things that we're looking at as we go forward, but this is the key right here, making sure that we take each of those hand ballots and count them so that we can confirm and look at those ballots so we can make sure the election was handled properly.
Now, I have heard from some people that a recount often doesn't make a material difference in a vote. I've also heard, though, from some, you're also a lawyer in addition to being a minister, so you probably would be familiar with this. I've heard from some lawyers saying that oftentimes a recount will reveal some vote patterns, some irregularities would provide a basis for legal action. Is that part of what you're trying to accomplish here, sir?
Well, look, there's all things on the table right now. What we need to accomplish is the fact that this vote needs to be counted. We need to make sure that there are no irregularities, that the people can be sure that when they cast that vote into that machine is actually counting them. And this is the way we can do that. And it's one step in the process. It's that first step toward ensuring the ballot integrity. It's the first step ensuring that legal votes count. You know, look, I know that they're wanting to move on. The Democrats and Biden think that they have it won. But no, there's a legal process. This is not over yet. And we're going to pursue those avenues that are provided by law. This has nothing to do with sour grapes or do we not think we won. It has everything to do with making sure the integrity of the election counts, because this is not the only election we'll ever have. In fact, in Georgia, we've got a couple more coming up, and we need to make sure that they're right for those elections too.
So the president is behind by about how many votes in Georgia at this time, sir? Do we know?
I believe it's about 14,000, I heard this morning.
Yeah. And would this potentially, this recount, would this, it could potentially make a difference with respect to that one Senate race, Senator Perdue, who was awfully close to that 50% threshold. Is that correct?
I think the ballot, we're looking at the presidential race. But this again, if we see indiscrepancies here, if we see problems in this ballot, which you just talked about a few minutes ago, then it opens up the possibility of the other races that we're seeing as well. So, again, this is a less than a half a percent. We're way under half percent difference here. This is mandated, you know, that the law, there's going to be an automatic recount. What the Secretary of State did, though, was agree with us, is since we now have these pieces of paper, these hand ballots, let's actually, that were presented to each voter, let's actually use those because they're identifiable. We can know where they come from, and we can continue the process of a fair election.
Now, the procedure is after the recount, then someone, I guess, certifies the vote. Is that how that works?
It does. There'll be the Secretary of State, and the governor has a part to play in that as well. But we'll see what happens through this and any other issues that we're having with people coming forward with problems that they had. And then we'll can decide, you know, post recount what happens to happen at that point.
And then until then, the presidential race in Georgia, I gather, would not have been called. It would still remain up in the air or not called. Is that correct?
It is not called at this point and will not be called. Until these at least next few measures are actually completed. The Secretary of State in Georgia has until November 20th to certify the election. We should have plenty of time to get this recount done. Look, this is not over. Let's take a deep breath as a collective, as a country. We've had a long, contentious battle. Now let's get every vote legally counted so that we can move forward. That's what makes us different.
Congressman Doug Collins working on the recount, the Georgia recount, some good news there. Thank you very much for talking to us on One America News. It's good to catch up with you, sir.
It's always good to be with you. Take care.
Want to see more videos like this? Visit OANN.com for immediate access to all the clips you've been waiting to see.
Thank you. So what's going on with these Dominion voting systems? They seem to be glitching in favor of Biden in all the battleground states. Is this a bug or a feature of the system?
Well, I think it's certainly a sound basis for the Department of Justice to look into this very deeply. And yesterday, of course, Attorney General Barr, initiated, you know, this assessment, which is designed to ensure that voting processes have been sound, fair, and accurate, and working as they're supposed to be working. In the case of Dominion, as you pointed out, there are multiple concerns. I mean, number one is that it seems very fortuitous that this would break in Joe Biden's favor consistently in the voting patterns. Number two, there are these conflicts, apparently, when you have a lobbyist that's the former chief of staff to the House Speaker and shareholders that have ties to familial ties to top Democrats. Those are major issues. And then, of course, their presence has been in many of these key battleground states, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Michigan, Wisconsin, North Carolina, and Nevada. So the errors that were made seem to be on the surface described as glitches. I don't know what that means. I don't think anyone can describe entirely what that means. Then they kind of backed away from that, subsequently saying that, well, it's not really the technology itself. It was more a human error, but that too is troubling. And, you know, a final point on this that I find absolutely concerning is that the software was being updated as late as the night before the election, which is unheard of, according to most individuals who work in these polling locations. And you sort of like to know, like, what kind of updates are that? They also were warned in Georgia. This isn't like a concern that's simply emerging now after the election. They were warned in Georgia that there were legitimate security issues and cyber hack concerns. You know, and we have a susceptibility there. I mean, I look just at China, for instance, which has hacked Equifax, which has hacked the presidential personnel office, stealing thousands of security files, including my own. Those are deeply troubling issues, and this certainly has got to be a major component of the DOJ investigation.
Exactly, because it seems like Democrats had to know this when they were pushing to use all these different systems, especially because when it comes to Dominion voting systems, in 2019, they were flagged by officials as being fragile and error-prone. What does that tell you?
Fragile and error-prone to me suggests you either fix it or get a new vendor. And it doesn't look like either of them have done that. Of course, both Georgia incumbent senators now are calling for the removal of the Georgia Secretary of State based on a whole broad range of concerns about voting patterns within Georgia and what appear to be concerns across the board. A lot of Americans out there right now, I saw new polling that has just come out from Rasmussen that shows only 49% of Americans believe this election was free, fair, and accurate. And I think you've got an extraordinary number of Americans out there that are thinking, seeing the enthusiasm that existed for the president throughout these rallies, that this is an inconceivable outcome. And I think the message has to go out. It is possibly inconceivable. We don't know for sure, really, until all these things are looked at. But this is an immensely close election. In fact, I had just done some of the math earlier on the Libertarian candidate. If you'd taken the Libertarian candidate out of this race, you would have had Trump winning a good number of these swing states and already have declared victory. It's that close.
And when it comes to this, what is the timeline looking at? How long does the president have to make his legal case? Is it until the electors meet, or is there, what is the timeline that we're looking at?
Well, it really is until the electors meet, but the best time to do it is before the state legislatures have to certify, because in some ways they're our audience, one of our audiences, because they have to be able to say that these are legal ballots. And when ballots are cast in contravention of their laws, they can't say they're legal ballots. I mean, these rules were passed by the state legislature. The legislature of Michigan set down a very, very strict rule for how these ballots had to be counted so they could be certified and they could be verified, largely because mail ballots are considered to be inherently dangerous and fraudulent. This is, the Supreme Court has said this. Justice Souter pointed out that this is the most fraudulent method of voting, the most prone to voter fraud. Well, the Democrats of the big city machines have proven to us that that's right. They exceeded the pig factor in this cheating. And that's largely because President Trump ran much stronger than they expected. And when he was ahead by 800,000 votes in Pennsylvania, they panicked, because it's really hard to make up that many votes. You're not going to make them up legally. So they had to go out and manufacture votes. And I think we can show you pictures of the manufactured votes. Same thing in Michigan. They were down by so much, they were in panic mode. And when criminals get to be in panic mode, they make big mistakes. Then you'll find the same thing happened in Nevada. Same thing happened in Arizona. The same thing happened in Georgia. The same thing happened in Milwaukee. Notice they're all big city Democrat machines. It didn't happen in the rural areas of the state, or even in the suburban or the non-Democrat controlled areas of the state. The voting there was perfect. The Democrats confined it to the places where they have complete control. They've had control for years. It's the same places they've ruined over the years. It's the same places that have the riots and the heavy crime. I mean, all the heavy crime takes place in Democrat-controlled cities. So if you can have heavy crime and you can have a kind of corrupt political machine, why not steal votes? I mean, it would be unusual for there to be a big election in Philadelphia and not steal votes. They steal votes in just about every election. And they have so many people that have gone to jail for it, they should have a special jail for people who steal votes.
Unfortunately, I feel like Democrats think they can get away with anything at this point. They got away with Russiagate and Obamagate largely. They got away with their fake impeachment sham. And I'm so glad to have people like you on the ground who are saying, no, Democrats, you're not going to get away with stealing this election. And we're putting our foot down and we're telling them no.
I mean, and they got away with that whole hard drive in which millions of dollars of crimes are proven on the part of the Biden crime family. And the whole media censored it. American people were never allowed to assess the evidence of the $30 or $40 million that was paid to the Biden crime family when Biden was vice president. That's unheard of.
And when it comes to the Hunter Biden scandal that broke just before this election, you saw big tech really put its boot down on the neck of freedom of speech, freedom of the press to suffocate the story. And now they're trying to suffocate this story when it comes to the election fraud. Is that election interference on behalf of big tech?
Election interference? Absolutely. They're trying to rig the election. I mean, they're as big a part of the fraud as the Democrat Party. I mean, and it's a total fraud. I mean, look, they called Arizona for him after 2% of the voters in, and you still can't call California Arizona. They refused to call North Carolina for him. He's won North Carolina for 5 days. I mean, I hope the American people can see the con job that's being done on them. It's sick. It's sickening. This election is not over. The votes that separate the two are very small. And in the states in which they separate them, every one of those states has a corrupt Democrat machine. And at least in two of those states, I can tell you, the votes are illegal. Trump won both states by a pretty good margin.
So here to help us better understand how that process would work is Phil Klein, a former state legislator, district attorney, and attorney general for the great state of Kansas. So, Phil, it's a pleasure having you on the program tonight. I want to start with Attorney General Bill Barr's announcement last night. He said that he would be allowing certain prosecutors to look into allegations of voter fraud if they are warranted. What type of power does that really give? Is it just kind of these federal agents looking into these allegations?
Well, no, it's about time. But here's the real challenge, and this is why that type of action is necessary. You remember the hanging chads of Bush v. Gore. Maybe you don't, Alex, but I remember it well. I'm old enough to remember it. When America was looking at the vote count and seeing the chads and all of that, that's because we were in the counting room. That's what the law allows. That's what the law demands. But instead, Democrats put up boards, they pushed people out, they kicked people out, and they counted their votes on their own. It's like you and I playing poker, and I call your hand and you lay it on the table, and I say, you know what? I've won. Thank you very much for your contribution. That's not how American elections work. But there's something on top of this that explains what's happening in the urban core, and that is Zuckerbucks. Zuckerberg's money. That money has flowed through a charity directing these cities how to manage the elections. Mark Zuckerberg is paying these election officials who are boarding up the windows and not letting the American public see. And I have this challenge to Mr. Zuckerberg. If you want to be a shadow government in America, open your doors, sir. Open the doors of the election offices that you have bought. Let America in the door, because this is what we have happening. That's a violation of the law to not let you and me, those who supported Mr. Biden, those who supported Mr. Trump, see the count. We must see the count. And let me warn the American people about this. A recount, the way that this is structured, only validates the fraud, because the only ballots we're recounting are the ballots that the Democrat officials who have shut the door let us see. That's the only ones we're recounting.
And I think you bring up a good point, because, for example, in Bush v. Gore, there was a matter of which way were the votes going, we're trying to determine where these legitimate votes were going to based on the Americans who went to the ballot that day. But this is a different situation, because there's allegations that perhaps these votes are not credible at all. Perhaps these are not actual people who turned into the ballot box that day. Perhaps they're not people who knew that they were casting a vote at the top of the ticket, anything like that. So I want to ask you, what type of remedy does the Trump campaign have? I know if they have to go to individual courts and really make their case, but at the end of the day, is it about doing away with all votes that came in after a certain time period? Is it about doing away with all votes that may be in question? What is the remedy here?
The remedy right now is to open the door. That's the remedy. I'll tell you what, if they are able, this is like a football team that's got a very questionable play. So they're rushing to the line of scrimmage, get the next snap before the red flag is out there. The red flag is out there. Stop the count, open the door. But as we go forward, I believe that there are serious questions about whether these elections should be certified. Because how we monitor our elections is what prevents the fraud. And what prevents the fraud is you have a Republican and a Democrat looking at the same ballot and deciding how that ballot was meant to be cast. Have you seen that anywhere in Atlanta, in Philadelphia, in Detroit, in Minneapolis? No, because Mr. Zuckerberg's employees paid through CTCL and those cities have boarded up the windows. That's the tragedy in America. Only oligarchs elect leaders that way. The American public needs in the door. There is a remedy, but we need in the door.
And so one part of this conversation is the observation that you're talking about. I know the Trump campaign has been saying, you know, we were allowed in the room at some times, but there's no point of being in the room, for example, if I have to use binoculars in order to see across where these votes are being counted. So, I mean, a physical presence does not mean observation. I mean, I could bring someone into this room right now, leave them in the corner. They can't see you and I having this conversation or anything like that. So when it comes to what happens next in this process, do they go to the courts? Is that really how the only way that they can really get to the bottom of what's going on here?
Yeah, and that's important to recognize. And we have over 20 lawsuits dealing with this and dealing with Mr. Zuckerberg's money, how the election was managed. And those need to play out. The only people who have determined who the president-elect is big media and big tech. The Constitution and the laws don't do that until mid-December. And that's why this time is given. Let the courts play out. We will continue these legal battles, and we will seek to expose this and open it up so the American people can have faith in the election result and see the count, actually see the count.
And I'm glad you bring up Mark Zuckerberg, too, because a lot of people have been saying that he's already hedging his bet in some way. I remember just the other day I saw that before the election, the top 10 links were on Facebook were Dan Bongino, Fox News, The Daily Caller, things like that. And then I looked at it Monday morning as well, 1 week later, and saw what the results were. And it was things like NPR, The New York Times, Democracy Now!, left-leaning organizations. And unless there's a dramatic shift among the American electorate, I think the only way you can really succeed at doing that is by changing the algorithm. So I think that Mark Zuckerberg, you're right, as well as election officials across the country, have a lot more questions to answer at this point than answers that we're getting as of right now. But Phil Klein, I really appreciate you coming on the program tonight and shedding some light on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Here to help us better understand what comes next in the re-election effort is Jenna Ellis, a senior legal advisor to the Trump campaign and a personal attorney to President Trump. So, Jenna, right now I know that you guys are really making sure that you have everything put together for a potential legal challenge that's coming up. I know that you've already filed some in certain courts, but what is the process looking like right now? Is it kind of putting together the framework for a legal challenge, doing research, trying to gather evidence? What's going on right now?
Well, really, Alex, all of the above. So we have a filed suit in Pennsylvania. We've also, of course, filed suit elsewhere and are asking for recounts in Georgia and Wisconsin specifically. But we're also still gathering evidence because we're getting a lot of reports on the Donald J. Trump website as well as our hotline where people are sending in sworn affidavits of the election irregularities. And so I want to be very clear. This is all about making sure that elections and the certification process is not only fair, but it's also accurate. So in Pennsylvania, for example, our prayer for relief there is to ask the court to intervene so that Pennsylvania does not certify their results yet, because we don't know if that count is fair and accurate. We know that there have been a lot of irregularities. We know that election officials have not obeyed the law there. And so when we're looking at these six states, this is really important to make sure that our election is called fairly.
And for example, in the state of Pennsylvania, you explained to us last week about how one of the issues there is making sure that ballots that arrived after Election Day were counted, but done so separately, just in case that there is a ruling that comes down from the court. You do have a remedy that's still available to you in that regard. But when it comes to other states as well, you said, I believe there are six states that you're looking at right now. How do you decide where to file a court case, for example, or where to really follow through on some of the allegations? Is it all of them, or are you kind of picking out which one you think have the strongest argument? What does that look like?
Yeah. Yeah, well, of course, I'm not going to get ahead of our legal strategy, but what I can tell you, Alex, is that we, you know, we have asked for Georgia and Wisconsin specifically for recounts, and we're also looking at where the evidence leads. And so when we have allegations like in the state of Nevada and also in Michigan, for example, when you have these allegations of non-residents voting, when we haven't had a meaningful access to look at the ballots being counted, when you have all of these election irregularities, what really matters is that we follow up on this and make sure that the law is followed. And so our strategy overall, of course, is to make sure that each of these states are counted fairly. If it's within the margin of error, like in Georgia and Wisconsin, then recounts, of course, are necessary and proper. And legal challenges and recounts are part of the process. This isn't unprecedented. And so for all the mainstream media, I saw an article, of course, from CNN that came out today that said, you know, this is basically ridiculous that President Trump won't concede. And Joe Biden apparently said that it was, quote unquote, embarrassing today. Well, he's one to talk, right? It was Hillary Clinton that said, under no circumstances, Joe Biden, should you concede. So what Joe Biden and the Democrats need to do is get on board with the strategy that all legal votes should count and be counted fairly so that Americans have legitimacy in our system. So what we're doing is looking at everything. We're going to see where the facts and the evidence lead us, and we're going to ask the court for appropriate remedies.
And I think it's important to be clear here. If the Biden campaign was in this situation, they'd be doing the exact same thing. I mean, if something is an effective strategy, it should be used by every campaign for that matter. I mean, there's a reason why these processes are in place to begin with, why these are even potential avenues to go down. It's because there is a reason for it in our legal system. So when we look at, for example, what you guys are following through on, and I know that you don't want to get ahead of any legal challenges or anything like that, but I know that Justice Alito, for example, when it came to that Pennsylvania case, he did grant the Trump campaign that order, saying we are going to separate these ballots, allowing them to be counted still, but just making sure that they don't get combined together, and therefore any type of solution is thrown out the window. So do you think that the end goal here, or I guess the likely scenario, is that this will end up before the Supreme Court in some fashion?
That's definitely possible. And, you know, we appreciate that Justice Alito was wise to preserve really the evidence. And so that's really something that is preserving that challenge for us, because the state of Pennsylvania did not act according to their own state election law. That matters. The rule of law matters. And so when we're asking the court for these remedies, it's asking the court to make sure that each state has gone according to its own process, and where there have been irregularities or instances of fraud, fashioning a remedy that is appropriate to the circumstances, that protects the will of the American people and ultimately the Electoral College. So as we're looking at these six states, as things continue to unfold, it's definitely possible and, in fact, very likely that these may end up in one suit in front of the Supreme Court to say, look, everything aggregated all together really is outcome determinative. And the Supreme Court needs to look at this, and they need to look at each state very carefully, look at what happened, and make sure that they appropriately and fairly apply the law and Constitution to the facts.
And Jenna, I think it's worth noting, too, that voter fraud did happen. It happens in every single election. It's not anything that all of a sudden it's just propping up and all, like, now it's being used it's to an advantage. This is something that Republicans have been talking about for a long time. It's just a matter of where that voter fraud took place and how widespread it is, something that you do need to go through a court in order to get down to. And in fact, Pennsylvania Senator Pat Toomey said that there's a pretty clear violation that took place in the state of Pennsylvania. If you just look at the law itself, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court seems like they put out a decision that just wasn't followed. So he is speaking out about that in Pennsylvania. But when it comes to Republican leaders across the country, no matter what level it is, Senate, House, whatever it is, have you been pleased with the support that they've brought out so far?
Well, I think that everyone is seeing that this is really a bigger issue than incidental fraud and irregularity that, unfortunately, you're right, we do see in every election. So for the mainstream media that is saying that there's no evidence, that's just patently false. Now they're pivoting, of course, to, you know, this term widespread, that they want to move the goalposts and fashion this to a subjective term however they want. But I think that Republican leaders are saying that they need to get on board with the fact that this is all about election integrity. This is no longer campaigning for President Trump. Of course, you know, obviously I work for him, I openly endorse and support him, but this isn't about just counting every vote until he wins. This is about counting all legal votes and making sure we protect the integrity of our elections. And I was happy to see Mitch McConnell come out in support of that, Lindsey Graham, some of these other Republican leaders, of course, Chairwoman Ronna McDaniel, others, you know, who, of course, are supporting our president. So I think that the Republican response from a couple of these leaders has been slow, but better late than never, of course.
And I don't think it matters where you stand politically. I mean, if half the country, for example, doesn't have faith in the electoral process, That's a problem. No matter if they're Republicans or Democrats, I don't think asking for an audit of some of those votes is too much to ask for if it instills the continuity of our democracy. I mean, that doesn't seem like too much to ask for. And when it comes to that widespread voter fraud thing, I think you're right to bring that up because we're not talking about half of the votes being wrong, but it's more so targeted voter fraud, making sure that in these key states, in these key counties, that it was an accurate vote, because the same way that it was very close in 2016, we're seeing right now in 2020. It is a very close race, and it's so important to make sure that it's a fair race. I think you're exactly right for saying that. But Jenna Ellis, it's always a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you for breaking down these legal battles for us.
Thanks so much, Alex.